Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, I don't want to waste a second. Too Precious, Andy McCarthy, of course, much in demand. Fox National Review is with us here on the Dom Giordano Show on Talk Radio 1210, and particularly Dave. Thrilled to get him. Andy, welcome in. Thanks for joining us.
Dom, great to be with you.
Just had a caller, a former cop, and I answered it with my limited law school dropout of Rutgers Law. Although I did win moot court, Andy, I want you to know.
I know. I'm not surprised.
He wanted to know, why could they convict him on all three charges? If you convict on the highest, why the other two?
Well, the way this works, Dom, is for purposes of convicting him, they're allowed to do that. And then what happens is at sentencing, everything merges. So even though he got convicted on three counts, he's really going to be sentenced on the one, the main count, which was the unintentional homicide committing another crime with what's known as the felony murder theory. So it merges in sentencing. A lot of times what happens is the state only wants to put in the more harsh count, and the defendant will ask for the lesser count to be put in to give the jury a choice. So there's no problem having the both counts decided by the jury, but when it gets to sentencing, you can't sentence on all three counts. It'll just be on the most severe one.
Okay. All right, well put. Andy, I was not surprised. I thought he'd be convicted almost from the very beginning on the lower charges or the third degree murder. I was surprised that ultimately, and you've been writing about this, Andy, that he was convicted on the top charge. Were you surprised at that, and why? Why would there be surprise on that one, maybe?
You know, oddly, Dom, I really thought it was the middle charge that would have been the most difficult and the one that I expected him to get acquitted on. Oddly, the harshest charge, which was the second degree unintentional homicide, the one I just described, which is like a felony murder theory. That was the only difference between that and the manslaughter count, which was the least serious count, is intent. So
yeah,
if you find that he intentionally did it, you could see why they would convict on both those counts. The count I thought they didn't come close to making was the depraved indifference to human life. Now, that's the third degree murder count, so that would have been the second of the three charges. I think it's not irrational for the jury to have convicted him on it on the instructions that the judge gave. But as a matter of textbook criminal law, depraved indifference homicide, the classic example of it is the guy who shoots a gun into a crowd. So he's not trying to direct force at any particular person, but he's creating a reckless risk of death to everybody in the vicinity. And it seems to me that isn't even close to what happened here. And in fact, the judge tried to keep that count out of the case because he didn't think it belonged. But in a related case, in a divided appellate opinion, a case involving a former cop named Muhammad Noor, who tragically killed a witness in an accidental but awful shooting, the Minnesota appellate level court upheld that theory in that case. So the prosecution was allowed to keep it in Chauvin's case. And the interesting thing is the Minnesota Court of Appeals is going to hear Knorr's appeal in June. And I think if they throw out the depraved indifference count in that case, it probably would be reversed in Chauvin's case. But that won't make a difference because he'll still be convicted on the murder, too.
Now, on the appeal with the judge, my sense is, and without saying it, there's not a lot of factors here, he could have declared a mistrial based upon the statement that he made, right?
He could have, although I think the normal thing that a judge would do, and mind you, Dom, he still could, because, you know, there's always post-trial motions to dismiss. So often what a judge will do is deny that, and the idea would be, let's see how the jury resolves the case, and then we can always revisit it, and then the Court of Appeals can always revisit. I don't think Judge Cahill is going to throw this case out. But he observed that there is an appellate issue, and I actually think, you know, I say this saying that I think Cahill did a pretty good job throughout the trial. I think he completely blundered not sequestering the jury, but I think he's blaming what Maxine Waters did was reprehensible. I've said so. I've written about it. But I think he's blaming Maxine Waters for a lot of things that went wrong in the trial. Because it's not, you know, if it was just a one-off where Maxine Waters said something crazy, you know, she says something crazy every day, nobody would really care.
Yeah.
The problem is that there's a strong record that this guy didn't get due process.
Based upon what? Based upon the intimidation, based upon the armed camp there, or based upon what?
Well, he starts out saying he can't get a fair trial in Hennepin County because of all the rioting and all the atmosphere of intimidation. The judge won't move the case, but the judge says, I'll take care of it by an exacting jury selection process. So we make sure we only get people who are going to be fair. And then in the middle of the jury selection process, Minnesota, who's Minneapolis, the city, whose obligation it is to give Chauvin a fair trial, publicly announces that they're paying $27 million to the Floyd family, which conveys to the jury that the city has decided the guy's guilty. And it was such an outrageous thing to do that two of the jurors that the judge had already qualified had to be dismissed because they said they'd be influenced by the settlement. Then last week, when the tragic shooting happened in Brooklyn Center, the defense lawyer pleaded with the judge to sequester the jury, and there was no reason not to do it at that point because they were at the very end of the evidence and they were going to be sequestered when they began to deliberate anyway. So why not go right into final statements, summations, then charge the jury and get them to work without letting, you know, sequester them, don't let them go home. Instead, he sent them home for a long weekend. He gave the lawyers Friday off
it's ridiculous.
To prepare summations. And they sat marinating. Everybody knew what it was going to be like in that city and the surrounding suburbs over the weekend. And I would point out to people that at least one of the jurors resides in Brooklyn Center, and a number of the jurors had ties to it. So how you send people home knowing that that's what they're going to be, you know, suffused with, I don't know. So, you know, look, the Court of Appeals is going to look at this and they're going to say it was very strong evidence. And Chauvin's going to have to show not only that he didn't get due process, but probably that it would have made a difference. And I don't know if there's going to be any inclination on anyone's part to give a very hard look at this case. But I sure hope they do, because I don't think the guy got due process. That doesn't mean he's innocent, not by a long shot. But I don't think he got due process.
No, I agree with you. Definitely agree on that. Andy, the other thing is, if the jurors, but they're chilled now too, usually some juror, this is so big, they're being hounded, or there's a book or something, what was it like? If one of them said, well, we felt the atmosphere, that's what did it, we thought maybe he's guilty of this highest charge or the charges, but we better go there, that's why we did that, what would happen on appeal with statements like that? Would that count for something?
It would count for something, Dom, and I'm going to say the same thing about it as I said about Maxine Waters. If you took each individual thing that I just laid out in isolation, you could probably dismiss every one of them. But the thing for Chauvin is the cumulative effect of this. And what I think if something like you just laid out, that scenario were to happen, it wouldn't be looked at in isolation. It would have to be added on top of all the things that I just cataloged, which give us reason to worry about whether there was due process in this case or not.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with the great Andy McCarthy here on Talk Radio 1210. Now, I've talked about this before, but your expertise is as good as we're going to get in the country. Right away, we pivot to the Floyd Policing Act, using this rather than as justice was done here. Let's say that first. And when I look at Floyd, I'm on board with the chokehold thing from Tim Scott going away, the national database. Andy, though, this is where we need your expertise, and I wish every channel would use you. They won't, because they're going to mangle qualified immunity for police officers, and they're going to try to convince Americans that cops can get away with shooting someone or doing what Chauvin did, and that's not the case at all.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we need to take a step back and look at about this case and maybe learn from is I think the other than the video, the evidence that was probably most impressive to the jury was the number of police officials who came in and
yes.
said, this is not how we do it. And I think the reason you were able to say that this guy had depraved indifference to human life and that what started out as a legitimate police stop ended up being a criminal assault is because the cops came in and said, look, this is not how we do it. When we restrain someone, you got to roll him into to a position where he can breathe. So you put him on his side. We're trained as first responders. So if somebody in our care, no matter how bad he is or how bad what he's done is, if he's in our care and he loses his pulse, we're trained to immediately begin CPR and do chest compression.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
All the things that are textbook American policing, that's what Chauvin did. It didn't do, and that's why he got convicted. So, you know, were it not for the testimony of those cops, I think it's a very different case.
I worry going forward now with this and the intent, you know, just it's never enough here on anything. The case of Officer Potter nearby, I think 10 miles away in that shooting, I'm on the fence, Andy, about whether criminal charges should even be brought there. I guess I'd have to look at everything and say, all right, maybe you could. But at the end of the day, her punishment is she's not a cop anymore, and a civil lawsuit against her, even with qualified immunity, a man died. It's a grievous mistake. But my goodness, she is going to be this huge target. And they actually have people that are on TV on the other channels saying it's no mistake. She intended to do it. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's terrible when justice becomes a racialized morality play, which is what is happening
yeah.
in this country. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, Dom, what I've been saying about Chauvin's case, which is what makes it hard is the criminal justice system is not designed for wrongs that are not malicious. The criminal justice system is designed for intentional wrongs, and it's a very tough fit to make it work in a case where there's no
yes.
criminal intent. We make an exception in some cases of death for manslaughter, for example, because death is such a profound and irreversible wrong. But looking at the charge that they've brought against this police officer, I don't see how they can prove it. And that doesn't make what happened right. As you say, she's never going to be a police officer again, and there's going to be a civil settlement to end all civil settlements in that case. Now, that doesn't recompense the family. It doesn't bring Dante Wright back, but nothing's going to do that, including convicting this woman if she hasn't committed a criminal offense. And her life is over. I mean, her
yeah, exactly.
You know, it's she's shattered. It's just a tragic, tragic thing. But, you know, a lot of tragic things happen in life and they don't all end up in criminal court. And I do not, for the life of me, understand a prosecutor who gets up at press conferences and says, we are going to prosecute this to the full extent of the law.
Yeah,
and I'm committed to getting this woman. What gives a prosecutor righteous rage is that the people who you prosecute are sociopaths. They've committed intentional wrongs. They're preying on society. That's not this cop.
No, not at all. It's fallout from this whole thing. Andy, when are you on Fox again and National Review, too? Several columns. It seems like one or two a day that you have up there. So when are you on Fox again?
Yeah, well, I'll be on with Martha McCallum later today. And I'm hoping that I'm off trial coverage for a while, Tom. So maybe we'll have a couple of days off from I'll have my regular column on Saturday, but I'm not looking up to
okay, if you want to come on and talk about the Mets, to give you a little, any day, we're open for it, okay?
No, what, you want to talk about more human tragedy, is that
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly what it is, yes. All right, thanks, Andy McCarthy. Thank you, as always, particularly during this coverage. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, you don't do any better than that guy. All right, I hope that got everything answered. Give me your reaction to Andy McCarthy here on Talk Radio 1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.